Let us pray. Faithful God, make our hearts bold with love for one another. Pour out your Spirit upon all people, so that we may live your justice and sing in praise the new song of your marvelous victory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The first letter of John. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
same way the Father loves me, I have loved you. Never stop walking this road of love. By doing what the Father has told me, I have remained in his love. As you walk in my ways, my love will remain in you. I am saying this so your hearts will be filled with the same joy I have to walk the road with me. You must love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater way to show love to friends than to die in their place. You are my friends if you walk in my ways and do what I say. I no longer see you as my servants, but as friends. Masters do not share their hearts and plans with their servants, but I have shown you everything I have heard from my Father. You may think you chose me, but I am the one who chose you. You are my new garden where I will grow a great harvest of my love, the fruit that remains. When you bear this fruit, you represent who I am, my name. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask for. I am telling you this so you will walk the road of love with each other. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May we speak and hear and take in the love of Creator sets free. Amen. As you look around and see lots of red, as you look up here and see red, for the sake of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls and two-spirited peoples. And today, perhaps, the red is more about the blood of those who have died and being in solidarity with that. It's framed in this that I want to speak about the Creator's love. Out of the scriptures that you just heard, Jesus is in the second half of talking about his connection to us. It's a loving connection, but his connection to us, and he's comparing it to a vine that has branches and bears fruit. Now, if you can picture, I'll just repeat it, a bonsai tree or a tomato plant, or maybe more familiar for Jesus, a grapevine. You'll see a rootstock in which is grafted a more productive version of grapes, and a long vine, and on that vine will be some clusters of grapes. The challenge of that as a picture of Jesus's connection to us is, where does the vine end and where do the branches begin? If Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, when does it stop being vine and become branches? You know, if you kind of picture it, the image is a challenging one for us because we wonder what we can take credit for and what is simply Christ, Creator sets free. This is the second part of Jesus' comparison of us. It's an allegory of us and his relationship. And he is doing it in what is called an I am statement. I am the vine and you are the branches. He has a number of these statements and he is getting them from Moses' first encounter with God. Moses encountered God in a bush that appeared to be burning up, but it wasn't consumed. It was like fire, but it was more profound than fire. And God spoke to Moses out of this bush, calling him to free God's people. And Moses gave lots of excuses of why he wasn't the right person to do that. And then as God persuaded him, he said, well, if I'm going to tell people that a God has compelled me to set them free, they're going to want to know which God it is. So what's your name? And God said, and the Hebrew is hard for us, I am who I am, or I will be what I will be, or just I am. And the Hebrew is deliberately hard to grasp. I think that's a very good thing, because if you could say it all in one word, who God is, you know, you might just put your God in a little box and dominate it and just pull it out when you need it to get what you want. And so it says God is infinite, God is mysterious, God is beyond what we can describe. And it's a beautiful way using language to remind us that God is bigger than we can conceive. So when Jesus uses I am, he's also speaking of his connection to this God who is greater than we can conceive. And he does a number of these statements throughout John's gospel. He says, I am the resurrection and the life, after raising Lazarus. He says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the good shepherd. And we had that reading just a couple of weeks ago. And it's a challenging one because, you know, I can picture a shepherd with sheep, but then he switches it and he's the gate for the sheep. You might wonder, okay, is he like the sheepdog protecting the sheep from the wolves? Like, how far could we take this? And here in the vine, we have an elaboration as well. And I think our minds have a hard time with these elaborations because we're used to our poetry and our advertising being pithy and evocative, short and leaving you with a thought and moving on. And John's gospel, Jesus expands and expands and expands on how he is the vine and we are the branches. And we're in that expansion now. That expansion, it might seem like, well, do I really need to listen to that? But he takes us to this new place where he is saying, this is how it's going to look for you to be that connected to me. And he does an interesting thing. He goes back to the scripture, I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. He goes back to what we call Maundy Thursday, the Thursday in Holy Week after Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And he's echoing that to say, that's how, if you're really connected to me, it's going to look like love. And as we read through the rest of the reading, it seems it's going to look like love and it's going to look like living the commandments. And here is actually where it gets harder for us. When we read the scriptures, we don't read just one reading. You've seen a number of people come up to read. And today, our second reading kind of amplifies the gospel. It's from the first letter of John. And let me just say about that we have, of our four gospels, John is our fourth one. And then the author of that gospel has also written three letters to the early church. And they're tucked in way in the back of the New Testament. If you were trying to skip to find them, you might skip over and end up in Revelation because they're so short. In fact, the second letter and the third letter of John are so short that you might not even notice them. But the first letter of John has five chapters, and it is, people often use it because it says beautiful things about love. You'll hear it at a wedding, you'll hear it at a funeral. And in this reading, it says something I find really hard. It says, who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Okay. Shall we look at history and how the church has thought it's conquered the world because it had God's love sewn up? We have to be humble and honest about our history. I can give you three examples. The early church was rather like us in the sense that the first followers of Jesus did not have a lot of power in their society or their culture. They were a small group. Now, we're like that, but only because we've become smaller from being a very powerful entity. So we are coming to know better and better in this new place where we are, how it must have been for the early church, but we have this residual memory of the church being very powerful and even becoming an instrument of how empires govern themselves. It began with a persecuted minority becoming the legal religion of the Roman Empire and then the official religion of the Roman Empire. And with that, if you think, okay, we're governing by the official religion and therefore we're automatically living by the commandments, you can have a holy war if you want. You can have a crusade. You can have an inquisition. You just dress it up as, oh yeah, we're living the commandments, and you can pretty well get away with a lot. And over those centuries, there were many people who rose up. We would call them saints, and the church has called many of them saints, because they challenged that way for the church to be. I think it's a good thing for us to mostly be past that. But we're not past it. If you look south of our border to the political battles about access to abortion, you see that the language dressing it up as, well, it's a Christian society, we can enforce our Christian version of a state on everyone else, whether they regard themselves as Christian or not. But it would be too convenient for us to just point to another country and say, look, that's how it's being done badly. We have to bring it home. Canada was founded through colonialism. It was founded by displacing the people who were here, by oppressing the people who were here, by deeply harming in an intergenerational way the people who were and are still here. The way that trauma manifests itself, which we are marking today, is the many women who have died through violence. Women and girls and two-spirited people who have died through violence. So many that we don't know the names. They find the bodies. There are anecdotal stories of how they were left where they were left. The police, the people who took advantage, any number of stories of tragedy are part of what we are remembering today. But if we're going to speak of a creator who loves us and sets us free and get back to love, the first step is the honesty and the truth. We're not done. We need to be humble about when we think we're doing God's will. You might not actually know you're doing it. It might be better that you don't know you're doing it and that you hope you are, rather than that you are certain that you are. We have some clues in our readings about how to be that way. It's said about the commandments that they're not to be burdensome. They're to be about love, and they're not to be burdensome. So you could think of yourself as, I'm going to live out a burden of changing society, and maybe it won't last. Maybe you'll be part of something and it's actually not the thing. Maybe it's the small deeds of loving that you do that matter more. That not burdensome phrase, I think the echo is actually in Matthew's gospel, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, all of you who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will refresh you. In the gospel, it's phrased as, my joy will be in you. Maybe the way we live out this love is to be joyful in all that we do, to find joy, to be joy to others, to be love to them. And yes, we can work on our great projects. We're in a church with great projects, and we're actually proud of our great projects. But it's probably the constant love and joy that we share with each other and everywhere in our life that will be the infectious thing that is the yeast in the dough that makes the beautiful loaf, that is what changes the world. It means it's your everyday. It's every conversation, every person you thought of today, your love, your joy. Amen.
Creator, we come before you this morning, our altar draped in red, as we observe this day of national awareness for missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and two-spirited people. Their stories are cut short. The stories of those left behind, bereft of grandmothers, mothers, aunties, sisters, cousins, daughters, nieces, granddaughters, and friends. Stories filled with grief for those who love and miss them. We join our prayers and our love for those lost and those grieving, inviting the Spirit of peace in our midst together as we respond. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We pray for Gary, Alan, Christina, Pat, Barb, Kimberly, Carrie, Jesse, Monica, Barb, Jeff, Marianne, and all who minister at St. John's. Fill each of them anew with passion and love for you, as well as those they serve. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We pray for Shane, our bishop, Anne, our metropolitan, and Linda, our primate. Sustain them and guide them as they lead us, we pray. Renew their calling with grace from above. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Comfort those in need of healing in their lives and the lives of those they love. Bring peace to those facing death and grief. We remember especially those in need of healing and peace. Robin, Diana, Sarah, and Marcella Gaxiola. We lift up to you as well those known to us as we pause. Fill them with your peace as we intercede on their behalf. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We pray for the nations of this world and especially for those locked in combat with many people suffering. Soften hearts, we pray, and bring peace and justice to those desperate for both. Bring peace in this world, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We pray for our nation of Canada and those who serve and lead nationally, provincially, and locally. Grant them wisdom, we pray, and boldness in doing right. As we remember all the stories represented by the red on our altar and the red dress in our entry, help us to see that some of our collective stories need rewriting. Grant those that lead along with and for us that we can love those that have been lost and those that are grieving, have respect for the stories of all involved, honesty about some of the hard past and recent years of our country's history, courage to change, willingness to know the truth, wisdom in making these changes, and humility to know that we are quick to forget and need to pause and be reminded. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen.
Métis artist from Winnipeg, Manitoba. She created this for missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, Two Spirit Plus, as a way of showing the huge loss, because the persons that were murdered or are missing aren't in those dresses, right? Makes a statement. And so it's also about, it brings awareness, but it's also about the fact that these cases, these unsolved murders, and these unsolved, these missing people that are not found, these persons, they're still lost. And there's their cases remain to be unsolved. Lori Campbell, who is a Métis Cree leader at the University of Regina, she says it best, because First Nations, Inuit, Métis, some of the nations believe that the spirits that have passed see bright colors the best, red in particular. So hanging the red dresses helps lost spirits find their way back home. And that's why we have the red dress. Indigenous women are 4 times more likely to be victims of violence than non-Indigenous women. Indigenous women make up 16% of all female homicide victims and 11% of missing women, even though Indigenous people make up only 4.3% of the population of Canada. And the average rate of homicides involving Indigenous female victims was 4 times higher than their homicides involving non-Indigenous female victims. And it's still going on today. So I do want to encourage everyone to read the final report for the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls Two-Spirit Plus. I encourage you to look at those 231 calls to action, and I encourage you to continue to be educated, and I encourage you to meet and talk with Indigenous people any opportunity that you have, and just keep learning about the history and the connection to the Indigenous Act, you know, the Indian Act, and how that led to women losing their places and those precious Two-Spirit people that were in the nations losing their place of honor. And I do want to read a prayer that was written by Connor Sarazen. He is a member of the Algonquins of Pickwakanagan First Nation. And he wrote a prayer for missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls and Two-Spirit Plus. So I would like to just read that to you. Mother Earth, Grandmother Moon, we pray to you. We pray that you hold our tears of sadness. We pray that you hold our hearts aching with grief. We pray that we will see our grandmother, mother, sister, daughter, aunt, and friend once again. That they are not lost to us forever and have returned to the stars above us without us. We pray to you. We had to report that she hadn't been seen and is unreachable. We know the truth in our hearts that she is part of a growing group, a group that no one wants to be a part of, but so many are. Our fears are confirmed in one phone call. She's been found, but is no longer with us. We pray for you, dear one. We are one of the lucky ones. We know where you rest alone in those final hours. So many are left to wonder where their loved ones are. What happened to you? So many are left to wonder, where are you? Are you still alive? We pray for you. We have become accustomed to the reality that our women and girls may never return each time they step out into this world. We have become accustomed to the reality that this epidemic is greater than us and is global. We have become accustomed to the loss of loved ones and to grief. We pray for all of us. We look within and find the strength to continue on. Listening to the Creator, we express our gratitude for the beauty that surrounds us and is within us. We smile, we laugh, we cry. We are humble and resilient. We remember and carry on without our loved ones. Help us, Creator. We pray to you.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Que la paix de Dieu qui surpasse toute intelligence garde vos cœurs et vos esprits dans la connaissance et l'amour de Dieu et de son Fils Jésus-Christ, notre Seigneur. Et la bénédiction de Dieu Tout-Puissant, Père, Fils et Esprit Saint, descende sur vous et reste parmi vous, aujourd'hui et à jamais. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Go in peace.
Alleluia.